Welcome to Before You Cut Bangs. I'm Laura Quick.
And I'm Claire Fearman.
I'm Laura, and I am a professional storyteller.
And I'm Claire, and I have been a therapist, a coach, a counselor, and all over the mental health world for many years. A quick disclaimer, this is not therapy, and this is not coaching. This is just a podcast.
Totally. A really badass podcast. We've been friends for a long time. I was with you as your friend, and I have just learned about this story.
And I'll say, I'm not going to encourage you or discourage you from telling the story. It's totally up to you, and I think it's probably going to be a really funny story that people want to hear. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to say it.
That's right.
Which is taking a big step for me. So here's something you guys don't know about me. I have some kind of weird aversion. I mean, it doesn't seem weird to me. It seems like it's a normal thing, but it is weird to any kind of bathroom stuff.
Okay.
But I don't know why.
Talk about your aversion.
Have you ever shit your pants?
Sharded.
All right. This podcast is not about me.
Now it is. Bruh.
Hasn't everyone had some kind of little accident?
Well, I've only had one, and it was bad.
I shit my pants wearing white silk pajamas that Shane purchased me in Italy last time because I got food poisoning, and I thought I was over it. And
so anyway, none of this is going in.
Why are you averse to potty stories?
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Because they're disgusting. Like ladies don't poop or what?
Oh, no. No.
You're fine with that.
Yeah, and like, look, I'm a dad. I've changed diapers and the whole,
right.
It's something about, okay, first of all, like, from a humor standpoint, which I know this is not like a joke, right? But like, let's take Dumb and Dumber, that movie. The comedy, right, is supposed to be pretty simple, but I don't think it is. I think there's a lot of that, which actually is pretty smart comedy writing.
Yeah.
Except for the bathroom scene. I think like, oh man, you've really dumbed it down for this one. Like, this is just such a, like, you didn't have to do this.
But when you think of these stories, and they really happened.
Oh, and yeah, that's a different thing.
And we're not doing this for comedy. You know, I have gone all of my life and had never shit my pants.
That's good. It's good. Especially
and
if
then,
we have to talk about it.
Yeah. Out of nowhere. I eat one bad piece of meat in Italy. Mm-mm. And I also want you to know this. I'm the worst vomiter ever. I cry.
Oh, I scream.
I cry. I'm mortified. I'm so sad. And shame.
I probably say sorry.
Oh, you know you're apologizing. 100% apologizing. So I thought I was in Italy. Shane is mortified. I'm puking by every Vespa from the bar that we're leaving to the place. I told him, I was like, I don't think I can do a bar tonight. He's like, I just really want to go to this speakeasy right over the bridge. And I did it. And he had purchased me some really nice white silk PJs. And I thought it was over, you know. And then I woke up. I woke up shitting my pants. It was bad. This probably shouldn't go on the podcast, but I would like for you to tell the tale of...
There will be a bonus episode at some point where maybe...
The shitting of the pants goes in.
By the way, it's not like I throw up a lot. It's probably been 10 years at least.
Knock on wood, homie.
No, I know. Okay, look, listen. I'm terrified of stomach viruses. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're awful. They're the worst thing that's ever happened. Anything that makes you like
purge,
sweat and like your mouth
cold,
start watering, it's an awful situation. But have you ever shit your pants in a bikini?
No, I've not. I can say 100% definitely have not.
So this episode is on friends, connections, and how we bond with people. And we're going to come in hot because this came up tonight naturally, and that's how these stories roll. So we're going to start with a tale where I had a voluntary procedure, okay?
Mm-hmm. And use your imagination.
I chose...
This is the thing we're going to choose to censor? This thing?
I had fake boobs.
I was about to say, we've just said
as
so much.
I also believe in fake boobs as well.
Look,
I agree that they are good.
As do I.
Before we get to friends and connections, I want to state on the record that, like, if you love your body, love your body. And mm-hmm. I thought mine would be enhanced if I had actual boobs, okay?
I've done it several times. One time too large and had to have those bad boys taken out.
Yeah, I think in episode one or two, we went through that. Look, if it makes you happy and you
totally
want to do it, do it. Don't listen to other people.
And that's when we established that you don't like lip injections.
Well,
got it.
It made me happy. happy. I have two children. I was left with skin flaps, okay?
Yeah, they weren't good. And pancakes. Little floppy.
Ugh, what a sad state.
I've been there.
And I did give my body to them, and then I paid money to have it back, okay?
And it was lovely. Oh, I got some really great photos of them while you were under the influence.
I also purchased coats from Facebook Marketplace because this is like in the COVID era, and so you couldn't have anybody upon waking and anesthesia. And so they gave me my fucking phone, and I love that. And I'm making purchases, scrolling, and then like a week later, someone's like, so are you going to come get the stuff? And I was like, pardon? So anyways, that's not the point. But so yeah, I chose to do this thing, really happy, totally unashamed about it. Really worth it for me. So
100%, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Single, I'm like confident in my body again. That's super important. I felt really confident in myself, and I did not care that I paid a plastic surgeon to do it, okay? So I am divorced, and so I have my kids a couple days afterwards, and my best friend, who's also my neighbor, called, and she said, hey, why don't you just bring the kids to the pool, and they can swim, and you can just lay down in a lounge chair and relax, and I'll watch the kids. And I'm like, I want to get these bad boys out anyways. I'd love to. Now, yeah,
because you're
in
the phase where they're literally still in your clavicles, and you're never going to look like that again.
That's an important disclaimer. If you have not had your boobs done, you have porn star tits for like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. They are touching your chin, and they kind of tell you that, but it's not what you think. You come out and you're like, oh boy, what have I done? And then they settle. Okay.
Yeah,
the
do.
Settling is perfection. No one knows anymore. Now y'all know, but no one could tell.
Only
upon
the
glance.
World now knows.
Yeah. Only the people in the Netherlands that listen to this podcast know.
Thank you for listening, by the way.
So something I learned was that in your 30s, after anesthesia, you might have a constipation issue, okay? So I'm drinking a lot of water, I'm taking stool softeners, mm-hmm. and nothing's happening. And I'm mm-hmm. feeling pretty uncomfortable. If this hasn't happened to you post-babies, post-surgery, it's the literal worst, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not something I'm gonna like call my buds about and be like, hey, do you feel like you're dying if you have poo-poo stuck? Were you about to say something?
No. Nope.
Okay, just kind of
really,
engaged.
I'm just really okay. leaning into this story.
So,
I'm uncomfortable. Will is literally
I'm fine.
Red.
I'm fine.
Quit blushing.
Okay,
it's
go
perfectly
ahead.
Perfectly natural.
I promise you're going
to
love
so,
it.
Okay, so instead of calling a doctor, I Google things, and I proceed to take several laxatives and several stool softeners. Like, we're over 10 at this point. Nothing's happening. Like, not so much as a fart is happening, okay? And I'm pretty bloated. And I go and I try on a bikini. And 3 days post-surgery, like, I can't say I'm clear-headed. And I'm like, I look good. I've never looked better. So I have this bikini on. I saved it, even after the story. I gave her a wash and kept her in the mix. So I have this bikini on, and I'm like, I have to poop. Like, it has to happen. So I Google to give myself, and remember, we're not therapeutic advice nor medical, so don't do what I did, and gave myself what's called a glycerin suppository, okay? It's a hard thing that you put up your bottom. I didn't even bat an eye, okay? I didn't care.
You were medicated.
I was medicated, but I was miserable. Like, forget the medicated part. I was like, I'm dying. Like, everyone should go potty every day at least once. And sure. This had been days. So I just bend over, put it in, and I go to the pool. I pack the pool bag.
Take the kids. You took the kids to the pool.
Took the kids.
With the thing up your butt.
100%. Okay? And I'm with my best friend. Okay. Who's there to watch my children. And this is a pool in my neighborhood. It's not like I got on a highway. It was like, it's 3 blocks away. So we go to the pool. My best friend is watching the kids. Another mom is there. It's our neighborhood pool. Everybody knows everybody. And this other precious mom, no one knows what's going on because, again, like, why would you share? And the third mom says to me, she's really emotional. She's like, I'm pregnant. I'm like, oh my God, how exciting. And she's like, but my oldest is 11 and I didn't plan it. And she's getting really emotional. It was an unplanned, oh my gosh, I thought I had one child. I'm going to have a second. And about the time she's confiding in me, the friend that's a therapist and an excellent listener, mm-hmm. it hits. I'm sweating. I have the chills. I'm salivating. Something's happening. But I'm so goddamn codependent. I'm going to sit there and listen. But I can't even hear. I'm in like full flight mode. Like, I'm like, it's like teacher and Charlie Brown. She's talking. It's like, wah, 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 wah. Okay. And I was like, excuse me for just a second. And I stand up with those perfect boobs. And I shit right there in the Homewood public pool.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I can't even believe I'm going to engage on this. But I am, for the listener's sake, because they're going to have questions. Did it escape the bikini?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a solid thing. It was liquid. Did it escape? It was running down both legs.
Could she see/smell it?
There was no scent. And I'm confident because it was hot lava, okay? So I stand up, and instead of grabbing a towel like any sane person, I grab my phone because that's our culture. I grab my phone, and I ran. Well, like shuffle run to the bathroom, shitting the whole way. Can't stop. It's just pouring out. And I get to the bathroom stall. I'm like 34, 35 years old. I don't know. And I call my mom. Called my mom. Like, what else was a gal to do? And I called my mom. I'm sobbing. She's dying laughing. And she's like, well, get your towel. And I'm like, I didn't bring one in here. And she's like, well, just shake it. Shake it out in the toilet. And I did. So I'm naked in the bathroom stall, shaking it out, dip it in the toilet to clean it off, put it back on.
Let me tell you what's happening right now. Let me tell you what's happening right now. Everyone who's ever been to the Homewood public pool.
Well, I didn't shit in the pool.
It sounded like that first time you did.
No, I wasn't in the water. I was in a lounge chair relaxing. Okay,
I thought you were like standing like waiting in the water.
Hell no. I would have really been.
You're not
allowed
to get your boobs wet.
No, yeah. No. No water on the stitches, I guess.
But I do love that there are people right now wondering what lounge chair was she sitting in? How far was she away from the bathroom?
Was okay for those people and me. Was it cleaned up? Was there some kind of
it
like...
It wasn't on the ground. It was in my feet.
Okay, so it didn't hit the stuff.
I didn't like go back and Clorox it, but like it was on me.
Okay.
Okay, so I clean up and I go back to the chair. And instead of mentioning, as our previous episode mentioned, boundaries and asking for help, I didn't do any of that. I put a towel on, borrowed a towel. I was like, I'm not feeling so well. I've been there 7 minutes, tops. And I'm like, I go to my kids. I'm like, get out of the pool. And they're like, but we just got here. And I'm like, get out of the pool. You can have whatever you want when you get home. Unlimited iPad time. So I trudge my children home. Okay. Later, when I come to the realization of what's happened, I call the neighbor. I'm horrified. She's crying, laughing, and she's like, you stood by me and shit and didn't mention it? And I was like, why would I have?
But now you realize she didn't even know it, and now you're telling her.
Oh, no, she told her on the phone.
I told
her,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, but she didn't realize it happened when it actually happened.
No, sleuth pooper, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
which is a real talent.
Real gift.
Real
okay? gift. But also it shows how private I am, which is a huge part of this episode.
Yes,
of...
so private.
Sir?
Sorry.
Excuse us.
Okay. So at that time, I felt very embarrassed and very private. So call them, tell them what happened. Cute pregnant lady is like, well, that honestly made everything better for me. That was the best thing I'd heard. She'd also had her boobs done. She didn't shit her pants at the pool ever. So yeah, that's your introduction.
Say, yeah, that today we're talking about shitting your pants. No, just kidding.
What is this episode about?
Wait, today we're talking about authentic and dysfunctional connections.
Yes,
and how we can. I mean, it really came up because Claire and I were brainstorming on like, oh, what do we want to talk about? And I've had some things happen to me that I'm like, how do people not know that that's not okay? I call it trauma bombing. She was like, no, it's trauma bonding. I'm like, no, It's trauma bombing. It's when someone who you've known for 7 seconds tells you a thing that you have no business knowing about them. None. For instance, I have earmarked an hour on my calendar every week for the last 4 years. Anybody who wants to go to coffee, not because I'm fancy or whatever, but because so many people took meetings with me when I didn't know anything about anything in the business that I'm in, they would go have lunch with me, have coffee with me, and tell me all these things that I didn't know. So now I try to give back if I can. And I may have nothing to offer. Who knows? But people will take me to coffee or I'll take them to coffee. This girl recently told me the most horrific story. I won't even say what it was. It was so horrific. I'd known her for 8 minutes. I left there exhausted because that's what happens. Were you exhausted when you were shitting your pants listening to that woman?
Okay. So let's clarify. This episode is about connections. We had someone say, how do you make friends in your 30s?
Yes.
That sparked this. And there is a difference in a funny, I shit my pants at the pool, and then unloading your personal traumas to someone that you've known for 7 minutes. I don't consider the shit at the pool a trauma.
I do.
What?
100%. That is a trauma.
That would be the most traumatic thing that has ever happened in my life.
I would actually kind of like to see you shit your pants.
No,
away.
No.
Therapist
no.
Claire is going to come in with a definition, okay? After we experience a trauma, it's not necessarily the event, but it's how we struggle with it. Mm-hmm. So from that event, like embarrassed, sure. Funny, 100%. I don't lay awake at night cringing over this. Or like, I have far worse things that are really sad that have happened to me that are more like treasured and there for my like most sweet, precious connections. So that's called post-traumatic growth. So you take a look at the trauma. Have I struggled with it? Not really. Like, am I going to put a glycerin suppository in me and go to the pool again? No. I'm not. Lesson learned. Do I struggle every day after that about like tooting or going potty? No.
Okay, really? Now, by the way, these are words I can get behind.
Potty?
Potty?
Yeah, tooting, yeah. Potty, even rooty tootie.
If sure. That's
how, yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay.
For some reason, the F word, which was said, like, I can't say it.
Gosh, sharding? You're so charming, Will.
No, there's some. No, that's a weird thing that people use that regularly.
I think Will is he's fine with the under five vernacular.
He's more pure than us, is what I've come to learn.
Okay, well, I don't know. Right. That's the truth. I just, as far as bathroom stuff goes, I am weirded out by it.
Well, I grew up in the house where you weren't allowed to say piss, you weren't allowed to say pee, but you could say go tinkle. Go potty and use the little girl's room.
Oh. There were no rules about don't say piss or pee. It was just, go tinkle or potty or whatever. You could go country tinkle if you're out at the farm.
Hell
just,
yeah.
Yeah, just go around the side.
We call that pissing on a flat rock.
See? And that's it. We call it country tinkling.
Not at the Fearman house.
Yeah. Nope. Country tinkling.
Mm-mm.
Country tinkling. I'd like to make sure we save some of this and use it because I'd really like to hear Will say on a commercial eventually, well, that's what we call country tinkling.
Okay, yeah. Pissing on a flat rock.
This hey, is listen. The episode. We're 20 minutes
we
into it.
We are, oh my God, we're too.
Okay.
Let's dive in.
So, well, great. I loved it. Okay. All right. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Tables have turned. Damn. Home slice. All right. So Laura and I have these faces. I don't know about Will, but we have faces where like if I'm in an Uber, a Lyft, or at a restaurant, people have confided everything to me.
Yes.
And Laura taught me the term ask-hole.
Mm-hmm. Tell us. Shelly. Okay. So my best friend, which we share this friend, Shelly, sometimes she'll say, why do you keep meeting with that ask-hole? And so her definition of an asshole, my definition of an asshole now, is someone who asks you to give them your time and takes and takes and takes, and they are literally just there to word vomit on you or take from you or whatever. They're not giving. They're not contributing. They are assholes.
Energy vampires.
Energy vampires, yes. Ooh,
is that a What We Do in the Shadows reference? Because that show is fantastic.
I don't watch scary shows, so I
don't know. It's a comedy, but if there's an energy vampire, he's the same. He was in The Office. Anyway, whatever. It's the best. I'll take that out.
No, I love it. I love that she's like, Jermaine,
I read it in the evening.
Okay, so quickly, Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
It's his show. He writes it, and it's his show. It's a hysterical show about these vampires, whatever, What We Do in the Shadows, and one of them, the best character probably, is an energy vampire.
The Pits.
Fantastic, yeah.
The Pits. And we come across these people all the time. So this is the person at the grocery store. And what I've come to realize is most of the time, a person who is dumping or they become an asshole are the least socially aware or socially adjusted people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have discernment to read the room, to know that it's inappropriate, that if you've known someone for 5 seconds, you're not sharing your deepest, darkest secret because that's not real. That's not authentic. There's no way that all of a sudden we're going to be best friends because you shared your deepest trauma with me. Instead, you scare the shit out of me.
That's right.
And I'm going to call Claire or Shelly or one of my other friends and be like, holy moly, you won't believe what just happened to me at a fucking coffee shop.
So what's the opposite of an asshole?
A giver. A giver. Someone who is healthy and balanced and reciprocal, and they're going to do what we're doing, which is I ask you questions and sometimes you ask me questions and sometimes we embarrass the hell out of Will. And that's kind of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I'll say this. So the people in my life, I think that I am now seeing, like, oh yeah, that's an asshole, whatever. I see that they don't have a lot of people.
That's right.
The reason they don't have a lot of people is because they're assholes. It's a vicious cycle. The reason that a person will come to a coffee with me and they don't know me at all and they dump on me is not because of my face. It is because I was a willing participant. And they don't understand the vicious cycle they're in, which is dumping on people over and over again, which runs people off and they never want to talk to them again. And I think that's the thing. I'm normally the person who will be like, hey, all that sounded really hard. It's also inappropriate to tell someone that you've only known for 12 minutes that dark of a story. I was ill prepared. I thought you wanted to ask me questions about how to start a magazine.
I would say that's even being too much of an asshole.
Well, I agreed to it, but yes.
My head's in such a different spot, but that's because of my history. When I experience someone that is showing up dumping on me, first I get the ickies. Like, I think a lot of people get the ickies. Like, please, please, please don't put this on me. Mm-hmm. But then I have this, like, wound in my heart where I'm like, oh God, they have nobody else, right?
And so Will has, look at him, he's like, that's the same. I immediately thought of being empathetic and like,
oh, I don't know that I'm being empathetic. I just see it. Like, oh, that person just doesn't have anybody. I'm still like not responding to them a lot.
Okay, yeah. But so you're putting up some boundaries, but yeah. Okay, and so this soft spot in your heart is, oh,
I'm not going to lie. Like, I've accidentally had, like, a therapy session in the back of an Uber where I'm like, have you talked to somebody about this? Like, I...
Well, I mean, and I'll say this, too. I feel like I'm sitting here acting like I'm calling people out, but the truth is, I think in those moments, as someone who has done a lot of work and I have gone to a lot of therapy, it is impossible to hear someone's heartbreaking moments or stories and not feel compassion. I mean, unless you're a sociopath, or maybe the person's done it to you 700 times and you're like, holy crap, like this is just a reoccurring theme. I think I need to put some distance here.
Yeah, and if it's actually something serious, I'm totally going to respond like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
I'm talking about just like mundane problems with
Day.
Ugh. With their day and like yeah,
everybody, like the constant victim mentality and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and I think it's a spectrum, right? Because if we're talking about what is healthy connection, how do we connect healthily, if regardless of your age, it doesn't matter if you're 20 something, if you're 30 something, if you're 50 something and you're starting over, 60 something, 70 something, healthy connection starts with being a healthy person. If you are listening to this and maybe you're thinking, oh, I have recently asked someone to coffee and told them my darkest tale in 12 minutes, then I would challenge you to ask yourself more questions. Why? Why did you do that? Is it because you don't have anybody else to talk to? Is it because, you know, that thing's rolling around your head? Have you considered therapy or seeing a therapist? Because I do think that what keeps us from healthy connection with others is a lack of connection with ourselves.
Zing. Okay, so a huge part of this is humans are made to connect. Like, that is human nature. We are bred to connect with other people. But when you have genuine connection, you have the perfect blend of connecting and vulnerability. Vulnerability is not sharing my deepest, darkest, worst, ugly upon arrival. True vulnerability is, hey, I'm going to get to know you. I'm willing to have this conversation. I want to share it with you because I really care about you and I really trust you. I think that in our culture, we had this big swing when the word vulnerability, I think it was around like 2013, 14, that became like...
Thank you, Brené. We love you.
We do love Brené, but I think people took what she said a little bit out of context and they made vulnerability, putting things on Facebook like, prayers for us, please. Something has happened within my marriage. Like, fuck you. No, that's not vulnerability.
And before you know it, they have a joint account and everyone knows someone cheated.
Oh my God. When it's like Jay and Holly Smith on Facebook, I'm like, y'all okay?
Yeah, and at least they put the prayer request is for something in the marriage. Usually it's like, unspoken prayer request, please. Don't.
All of it is a no. Just stop.
That's not connection, nor vulnerability. That is an attempt to be soothed. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I had a lunch last week with a mom in my neighborhood that I hadn't seen in ages. And it was one of those where we were like so excited to see each other. And I was like, tell me about life. And she was like, are you sure a lot's happened? That was her response back. And I said, I would love to sit with you and listen. And I did. And it was heavy and it was hard, but it felt very natural. And then I followed up with her the next day. Hey, I've just been thinking about you. Thank you so much for sharing with me.
Right.
Okay. That's normal vulnerability. Okay. So there's this thing that we do. I don't think this is a real term, but we're going to call it one for this: pseudo bonding. Mm-hmm. So pseudo bonding is similar to what Laura calls trauma bombing. Okay. So it's when I puke all over you, you don't know what to do with it. Pseudo bombing is when you're with a group of friends and it's this like shit talk session. So shit talk and gossip makes you feel temporarily connected to the people that you're with. Mm-hmm. And then if you have like this moral compass where you don't like that, you feel icky the next day.
So then, you leave the group and you're like, gossiping is the devil, y'all. It's the worst. It's so bad for us. It's bad.
But if you said that, what happens?
What?
What could happen? If you're with a group of girls, just like hypothetically, it doesn't have to be Laura, and they're just like talking about this neighbor and that neighbor and this person and that, and it just feels icky. If you're the one that is like, this doesn't feel right, what's the risk?
Well, it's
you're not coming back to wine night is the risk.
You won't get invited back, and it's awkward, obviously. I have one of my core values is if people are shit talking, I just separate myself. And I mean, I'm kind of like, oh, just gotta call, gotta leave. Like, I can't go there, because if I do, I don't like who I become. I don't like her. And so I don't want to be the person who's talking shit about people, because I don't want people talking shit about me.
Amen.
And also, like, you never know what someone's going through, like what position they are in their life.
Totally.
Like, it may seem like, oh, this person's in a great place, but whatever. You never know.
No, totally. Yes, but pseudo bonding is when we find common negative things to bond over. The same way that I would say, and trauma bombing is definitely something I made up and not something that's clinical, but I think that what that does to a person is you've just shared something that if you were in a healthy relationship would be vulnerable for you to share, but instead you vomited it on me and now I know something really deep and dark about you. And I'm connected to you and didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought we were having coffee and you wanted to ask me a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know you were going to tell me this really, really hard, dark, deep thing that you didn't ask my permission, could you?
Yeah. So I think people that are in our like 30s and 40s age range that are saying, how do you make friends? That's what we've gotten on Instagram. How do I make friends in my 30s? Don't connect with the most private part of yourself yet. So I call it being on the beam. So I have this balance beam that I want to live on. And those are all of my like truths, morals, values, beliefs, okay? Or we called it a hula hoop in the last episode. But when I'm on that beam, I feel good and I feel connected. And if I'm engaging with someone and they feel off of my beam, I don't hang out or engage with them again, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that social media makes us think that we have to have an expanded network or show up as our full selves all the time, and we don't. I think it's less than five people that know all of my stuff, and they hold it really well. And I still to this day say, hey, I have something I need to talk about. Do you have capacity for that today?
Right. You do that to me all the time. You'll call and be like, hey, do you have capacity for me to, like, I need to vent or I need whatever. And you do the same thing when I call you. I try to ask permission. Like, hey, do you have 15 minutes? I've just been through something that's like, I'm pissed off or I'm stressed or I don't know. You know, what's interesting is in the trip that you bailed on to Italy that I'm completely fine with.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm really over it. But one of my friends, Nikki, was saying, she used the term, you just have to have one. You just have to have one really great friend. Like, that's how it starts. Like, if you can just have one person that you can trust and you can be vulnerable with, because she was talking about moving and, like, what that's like when you're changing your life and you're moving. She lives in Australia. And I was like, move to Nashville. And then she was like, I know, even if you just have one friend, it makes all the difference. And it's true. When you see somebody who's vomiting on you, one of the things that I always think is they probably don't even have one.
So the cool, like how I've explained this to other people, if you're listening and you're like, I don't know that I have that, you can pay someone, and we're called therapists. So there's no shame in that. Like, you can pay someone to be an unbiased witness to your story. And what I mean by that is they sit across from you and nothing you can say would get the reaction. So when you get the reaction, what do you feel?
I feel shame. Or
teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Like, really shit. That's right. So I told this story, and I've told it a lot. It was not my story. It was one of my mentors. But his big metaphor was, if a client comes in and they tell their therapist, I've never been to therapy before. I'm really scared. But I have to tell you that I fuck chickens. And the therapist goes, they're going to be like, oh, shit, I knew I shouldn't have told them that. But if if they say that and the therapist is like, I haven't heard that before, can you tell me more about that?
Or the police record, because I'm going to need more information.
Also, guys, I just went to a very visual place when you said that.
It's a terrible image.
Mad at you.
But I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Cut it out if you want. But I haven't even told the funny part of the story. That was just like the story. So the point of the unbiased witness is there's nothing crazy that you can tell me that I love you the same. I love you in your mess. I love you in your perfect. I love you in all the ways. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if that's not your best friend, your spouse, your whoever, it can be somebody else for now. Okay. So I was doing a training one day. And it was in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. And I didn't read the room. Like, I'm going to be honest, okay? And these weren't therapists. They were patients at a facility, okay? And I'm trying to explain the unbiased witness. And I'm like, you just need a person in your recovery and your life and your healing to hear it. And I give the fuck a chicken story. And this cute young woman raises her hand. And y'all, this is a metaphor, like, right?
Clearly.
This is a meta.
I hate it, but yes.
It's a terrible metaphor. And she raises her hand, and I love audience engagement. And I'm like, by all means, ma'am, what's your question? And she goes, well, I had a friend that did fuck goats, and I was the only one he could confide in. Was I his unbiased witness? And I was like, be the metaphor, Claire. Be the metaphor, because I wanted to be like, Jesus, call the police. But instead, I was like, I think that is something really important you could talk to your therapist about. Thank you so much for bringing it. And I was just like, turn the car.
You should have affirmed it. She was his unbiased witness.
I blacked out. Have you ever had someone tell you that their best friend fucks a goat? No.
No.
I've never in my life. I don't even know if this town has like a regular population. Like, that's how middle of nowhere I was. And I didn't take into account at all that my metaphor wasn't going to land. And that was one. I mean, I've like definitely messed up as a clinician or been like, oh, damn, I missed the mark on that one. But this one, like, wowza, I missed the mark. And then had just told them, do not respond in shock, affirm them. And I had to sit there and be like, wow, thank you for sharing. Blech, like gagging. And then I closed
that. I like this. You know why I like this for you? Because you told us the story of shitting yourself at the pool, and we were your unbiased witnesses. We did not gag. Now, I okay, will say,
Will struggled.
Was
I gagged, actually.
He, oh, bit, did, okay.
You didn't.
Nope.
He did. And he was a red, deep purple-ish color.
At least there's no video of it.
No, I think there was.
I am shocked.
Oh, he was head down. It looked like he was really in deep issue over there.
I'm really, like, learning a lot, and I think I'm... You know, crossing a bunch of roads that I've never thought I'd cross, and here we are.
Yeah,
and
here we are.
So you're welcome.
You are.
Thank you.
So the unbiased witness, if you don't have one, you can pay them. Like, there's no shame in your therapist or life coach or whatever being that person that sits across from you that teaches vulnerability and connection.
And let's just say that you're maybe questioning, do I do this? Have I trauma bombed someone? Have I done pseudo connecting because I'm not really sure how to connect? And you're questioning, okay, well, should I go get an unbiased witness that I pay? Should I get an invest in a therapist or a coach? Let me tell you what will happen if you do. You will adjust. You will become a better, more adjusted whole human who can navigate normal social situations and not do that. And you will make more friends.
And so, like, if you're hearing this and you're like, oh my God, I'm the one that does this. What I would say is, like, that's just an untended wound. That's what that is.
Yeah, totally.
That your belief is, if I tell someone this, they will connect and love me.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it does the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to, like, get right with ourselves first.
Yes. And if you're the person who has this happen to you a lot, like me and Will and Claire.
What?
Yeah, that's right, Will. We know this is happening to you probably more than both of us combined. Just guessing here. But if you're the person, then what are the tools that we can put in our tool belt to maybe navigate those situations? Because for me, this is what I started doing. I've been taking these coffees and realizing this was happening to me a lot. And I would call Shelly afterwards and she would be like, you keep going to coffee with all these damn assholes. And like, you keep wondering why this happens to you. And so what I started doing was to say, hey, I would love to get a coffee with you. Tell me a little bit more about what you want to talk about. I'll have exactly 30 minutes, but I'd love to meet you. But I'd love to kind of just know so I can be prepared because I want to help you the best I can during our time together. And it changed the game. It weeds out a lot of people. When you're asking someone to come prepared because you're willing to give your time, a lot of times they'll get scared and they'll back out if they were going to be dropping their shit off at the pool with you.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. I just love that good callback. But, you know, it forces them to think about how can I show up as a constructive version of myself and be healthy too, because you're pushing them into it maybe.
Do boys think about this?
Yeah. So actually, your friend Shelley told you that. My friend Nick, my best friend Nick, said the same thing to me years ago. He's like, dude, you have to start charging people for these coffee talks that you're giving, like these advice talks or whatever. And it made me think, well, there's no way I can do that because there wasn't. Like, I just couldn't. When someone would say, like, can I, you know, pick your brain for a little bit?
Yeah. And
they'd be like, yes, for $50 an hour or whatever. Like, that's not, you can't do that. So what I would do, what I did instead was I put boundaries on that. Like, when somebody would say that, I would make it 100% in my court. Like, yes, you can do it from 9:05 to 9:15 this day at this place. That's when I can do that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just this open-ended at a coffee shop
2 hours later.
Where me trying to like pretend a phone call is coming in and whatever. Like,
right.
Yeah. So now that's what I do. It's a very structured. It's from this minute to this minute at this place, which is of my choosing and all that. Yeah.
So let's say they like really dump on you. Do you think about it afterwards? Like you have some responsibility to them?
No.
Lucky bastard person.
Hey, I don't know. I guess it would depend on the advice, but generally the advice I'm getting is like job advice or whatever. Like,
yeah, I think I probably openly talk a little bit more about my own story, obviously, because of my life and whatever. And I think that's why people see me as a place they could come and like share more traumatic things, because maybe I'm a little more open about the parts of my story I've overcome. Now I really love sharing about them because I want people to know they can overcome their hard things too. And so maybe that's why I get a little more of the trauma, like, hey, I want to tell you the darkest thing that's ever happened to me kind of thing. And so I've had to make sure that I'm sifting the content before I show up there so I don't get buried. Because the other thing is, I'm not a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I will carry that shit for you, meaning it will affect me. I think I'm a pretty empathetic person, and I'm going to think about it. I'm not like that. Well, of course, it's not just advice on.
Yeah, I promise you, I'm like actually very empathetic. It's just in these situations.
You seem kind of like a serial killer, actually. Like, I never think about him again.
No, I mean, most... poof. But honestly, the people that are coming to me, it really is about, like, job advice or, like,
I'm trying to...
I guess the context is different.
There's nothing, like,
they're like,
serious.
I'm also trying to figure out how to drum for Journey. Could you tell me how to do that?
And I would not know anything about that.
Well, I think a piece of this, the reason I asked that is I used to go into fixer mode. I don't know if that was like innate in me, post being a mother, my own history, but I felt this responsibility. And when you take responsibility for other people's stuff that is not yours and they have accidentally dumped on you, it can really go into stress and burnout. And so what I've had to do in those situations is say, like, I can't be in therapist mode all the time. Like, I'm just a regular person, but this is happening in an Uber or, you know, sitting at a coffee shop in my neighborhood.
At a grocery store.
At a grocery store. And so if you're one of those people that really takes it in, like, I'm very aware of my physical space. Sometimes I'll leave those situations feeling gross, like really heavy, really icky. And so research that's been done on burnout that's been because of other people's stuff, it is really cool what you can do with it. It's three really easy things. The first one is physical movement. So when you have that energy within you, and I know I sound like woo-woo hippie lady, but this is actual research. So when you move your body, it moves that stuff out. And I don't mean like G.I. Joe CrossFit workout. I mean like walk your dog. That's it. The second piece is healthy human connection. So then you can call your Shelly or my Amanda, my neighbor and best friend, and be like, ugh, this thing happened to me and I feel icky. And they're like, you want to come have a fizzy water on my porch and talk about it? Yes. So healthy human connection. And then the third piece, which is really cool and a ton of research has happened around this, is spiritual connection. Does not matter about religion, creed, anything like that. But if you believe God, universe, whoever, that you're not totally in charge, and you can have this image of like, I have to give this up. It is not mine to carry. And it's almost like a prayer, a meditation. This is not mine. You give it up. That relieves some of the stress. So that's kind of the how-to. I think I will always be one of those people that people overshare with.
I agree. Me too.
That is my plight in life, and that is fine. And honestly, from that, I've made really cool friendships, great connections, and then the other part of the time, I feel gross, icky, and weighed down. And like, walk the dog. Give it over to whoever and whatever you believe in, and talk to somebody that is not the energy vampire. Three things, that is it. You don't even have to call your therapist for that. You call your neighbor, talk to your dog, and write a prayer down.
Yes, love it.
All right, thanks for listening to Before You Cut Bangs, and we'll see you next time.
Before You Cut Bangs is hosted by Laura Quick and Claire Fearman and produced by Will Lockamy. Follow along with us everywhere. Please subscribe to the podcast. Find us on Instagram. We're constantly doing polls. We want to know what you think. And I know that you probably know this, but reviewing us and giving us 5 stars matters more than anything, and we are so grateful to have you here.